Okay, we'll begin with a prayer. Lord Jesus, you are the King of all creation. We pray that you open our hearts by your Holy Spirit this day as we consider one of the creatures that you've given us, and pray that as we compare how you've created this one with the words you have in Scripture, that eternal truths may be open to us. We pray this in your name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming, first of all, those of you who are visiting with us at our nature retreat. We have some new faces here. And also, I'd like to welcome those of you who are worshiping with us again by means of the tapes. The service today is coming from the Sportsman's Lodge up in Trempealeau, Wisconsin, and we're on a Saturday. This is our annual nature retreat. We've had 9 of them now, where we meet up at Perot State Park. And some of the members of Water of Life are here, plus some of the other friends and acquaintances that we've made throughout the years of our ministry, reaching back some 34 years now. And once a year, we get together at beautiful Perot State Park here in God's country, have a nature hike and enjoy God's creation, and then have a Bible study in the afternoon and conclude the day with a church service, which is what we're having right now. And we'd like to have you open your Bibles to Job chapter 12, verse 7. The last part of the verse. And we're going to use this as kind of a jumping off place. It reads this way: "But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee." This is one of the examples in Scripture of how God teaches us through some of the things that He's created. And as you read through the Gospels, it's kind of striking how often the Lord Jesus will open what I call the pages of the volume of nature and teach from them. Like, consider the fowls of the air, behold the lilies of the field, and one thing after another that the King of creation uses. There's another verse in Job chapter 35, verse 11, that says this: "Who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth and makes us wiser than the fowls of heaven?" And so we're going to pick up on one of the fowls of heaven today. It's going to teach us something. We're going to go to the one that's called wise, the wise old owl. And as kind of a background to it, going back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'm just going to read a couple verses to you. Verses 6 and 7 of that chapter, where God says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Now, the reason why we've chosen this verse is because it's one of the many verses in Scripture where God tells Christian parents how they're supposed to raise their children. And of all the animals in creation, and there are many of them that do a good job of raising their young, but one of the best is the great horned owl. Now, you look at the picture on the cover. This guy was a little cantankerous. He's supposed to be holding his ears up straight like this, and he wouldn't do it. He kept putting them over to the side. I couldn't get a decent picture of him. He doesn't even look like a great horned owl. But I found another owl that would pose for a picture, and I got his picture. And he's a real cute. Don't you think he's cute? Isn't he cute? This is the great horned owl. I don't know if I'll stay up there or not. But his scientific name is Bubo virginianus. And I think he doesn't really like that name that much, so we're not going to call him that. We're going to call him Ozzy. He was in kind of an owly mood when the picture was taken. He doesn't look real happy, but usually he is very happy. They're very happy birds. They've got different nicknames, these great horned owls. The common nickname is the hoot owl. And if you've been out in the woods at night, you've probably heard him hooting around out there. But the nickname that I like the best is he's called the tiger of the air. And as we look at him and how God has made him, I think you'll see why. The tiger of the air. He will grow to be about from 18 inches to 25 inches long. His wingspan is 55 inches. He looks like an airplane if you've ever seen one coming at you. I was hiking out in the woods once back of our home in Flushing, Michigan. We had a hoot owl that nested back there somewhere. I never found his nest, but I would see him quite often in the tree when I'd be out at night and see him sitting there. And one night, we had a snowstorm out there, and I like to be out in the snow and wind, so I went out. And there was an abandoned road in the back of our house that went into an old abandoned farmhouse, and woods on both sides of it. And it was snowing really heavy, and the wind was howling and blowing, and I was walking down this road, and I looked up, and all of a sudden, here came this owl. He came right at me. I don't think he was more than 2 or 3 feet above my head. It was a great horned owl. And he looked like a Cessna coming at me. His great big wings out there. They're really monstrous birds. But at the same time, they're very beautiful. They're called the most powerful of all the North American owls. And I'd like to begin this next section by reading a section from Song of Solomon chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. And this is one of my favorite sections of Scripture because I like the changing of the seasons. And whenever we get in the springtime, I think of these verses. I go back and read them. The Song of Solomon is kind of a love poem between Jesus Christ and His bride, the church. And the bride starts out talking here, and then she tells what the bridegroom says to her. "My beloved spake and said unto me," now this is Jesus talking to you and to me, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." Now, one of the things it says here is that the birds, the singing of the birds, that happens in the springtime. And it's always pleasant, isn't it? When you've lived through a really hard winter, and the weather's been really cold, and there's been a lot of snow, and a lot of cloudy days, and then all of a sudden the spring comes, and the sun gets higher and higher in the sky, and the days start to get longer now, and then all of a sudden these birds that had migrated south come back north, and they start singing. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful time of the year. If you walked out in Perot State Park, I know some of you have done this, in the months of like April and May, and you see some of the early spring flowers appearing on the ground, and then if you listen, you hear the birds that come back. Now, if you turn the calendar back 2 months, the woods would look a lot different. There'd be no flowers there. There'd be only snow on the ground. And the weather would be cold. When you go out in the spring and the birds start singing, and there's another thing that just about all of them start to do at that particular time, if you watch them, they start to build their nests. Because in springtime, the birds build their nests, they lay their eggs, and then they start raising their own young. Well, that's April, May, around in there, maybe the end of March. But if you go back to February, right up here in Full State Park, you walk through the woods, you don't find any of that. Except, there is one exception. There's one bird that builds its nest in February and lays 3 white eggs in there and sits on those eggs through some of the coldest weather that you have during all winter. And that's the great horned owl. And if you would walk out in the woods in February in the middle of a snowstorm, you'd probably see Ozzy or Mrs. Ozzy sitting on that nest. And they'll sit there and let the snow fall on them. And you know, in February, the days sometimes are very cold, and the nights are even colder. And yet these owls, these great horned owls, build their nests in February. They lay their eggs, and they sit on those eggs. Now, why do they build their nests so early in the year? Why do they build them in February when it's still cold out? rather than waiting like the other birds do. Well, there's a reason for that. They know that God has evidently revealed it to them. They know that when their little babies hatch, they're going to have a tremendous appetite. They're going to want to eat 24 hours a day. And it's very, very difficult for the parents to get enough food to feed these little ones. So they need everything going for them they can get. One of the things they got going for them is this. They lay their eggs early so that when the chicks hatch, there's still snow on the ground and they can see the mice and the rodents more easily than if there were ground cover. That's one of the reasons why they did this. Now, some people don't understand these birds. They have been called a prisoner of the nest. A prisoner of the nest. That's not true. They're not prisoners of the nest. I've never seen an owl on a nest, but I've seen pictures of it, and I've read about it. And I've never seen a picture of an owl sitting on the nest that's had a chain around her leg, or his leg, and chained to the nest and to make them stand there and stay there like they're a prisoner and they just can't get away. I've never seen that. I've never seen bars around the nest so that if they want to get away, they really can't. These owls are not prisoners of that nest at all. Anytime they'd want to, they could fly away. Why do you think they don't? Why do you think they sit on that nest during all that cold weather? Sometimes when the snow's coming down, why do they sit on that nest on those eggs instead of get up and go away? Why do you think they do that? Anybody have any ideas? They love their young. That's exactly right. They know that if they leave the nest, the eggs would freeze and the little ones would die. So they love their young. That's why they do that. And as we go through, you draw analogies yourself with Christian parents. But you know, it's not easy to raise a child if you do it in the right way. It takes a lot of time, takes a lot of energy. And a lot of people look upon Christian parents as being prisoners. We're not prisoners. We're not prisoners at all. They love their children. As they know that children are a blessing from God. So they love, that's why this great horned owl sits on his nest during the cold, but he loves and she loves the little ones. Now, God has specially equipped these owls. We're going to be kind of following this down a little bit, very, very briefly. But God has made them in such a way that of all the birds, and there are a lot of birds that are good parents, but I think of all of them, the great horned owl probably is the best parent. He's been given special things by God in order to raise these little ones. His beak, for example, you look at Ozzy's beak, very, very strong and bony. And that thing is so tough that it can crush bones, it can tear through skin or thick muscles. And my daughter has a parakeet. That thing bit me yesterday in the ear, and it really hurt. But I tell you one thing. I wouldn't like to be bit by that thing. That would really hurt. Those beaks are very, very strong. Now, there's another thing about the owl that you look at the picture, you don't realize. It looks like his mouth is a very, very small mouth, but really it isn't. We could almost call him Big Mouth. His mouth extends from one side of the face to the other. It's a very, very large mouth. And when he catches a mouse or something like that, he can very easily get the whole mouse inside his mouth. He takes the whole thing. A lot of times whole, not even tearing it to pieces. That's the way the owls are made. They take the whole thing. And that's exactly what your parents do. In order for them to teach you what the Word of God is, they got to learn it themselves first. And they don't pick and choose and give you just certain things. God wants you to have the whole thing. So they take the whole counsel of God. And that means you've got to study the Bible every single day because you don't learn that all in one day. It's a constant process every single day, meditating upon the Word. And then what your parents learn, then they give to you. That's exactly what the great horned owl was. Now, sometimes there are hair and feathers and stuff that they don't want the little ones to eat. They kind of separate those. I don't know how they do that, but God allows them to do it. And then they drop these things that are called castings. I don't know if you've ever seen these things out in the woods or not. They're kind of like pellets. They look kind of feathery, I think, and you break them open and you find little bones and stuff in there. Have you ever seen those? How many have ever seen those? Yeah, you see them out in the woods, don't you? If you look for them, you'll see them. That's a sure sign that there are owls. Now, one of my favorite things about the owl is the wings. The owl has a different kind of wing than I think any other bird has that I know. Most of the birds, the ones you see that are mounted along here, if you look at the feathers, the wing feathers, they kind of taper off at the end. And that's not how God made the owl feathers. The feathers on an owl's wing, instead of tapering off, they fan out. They fan out like this. And the reason that God has made them that way is because He wants them to have what we call a silent flight. When an owl flies through the air, you can't hear him because his wings don't make any sound. I was hiking in the same woods back in Flushing. It was at night again. It was a nice quiet night. No wind, no snow. It was a nice quiet night. And one of these owls, great horned owl, flew over my head from the back. I didn't see him coming. He just flew over my head really close. I didn't hear a thing. You can't hear him coming. I've seen tracks out in the woods. I've seen rabbit tracks and fox tracks right beside him. And then, you know, when the rabbit realizes the fox is coming, then the tracks get further apart. He starts to run. He zigzags a little bit. And all of a sudden it ends. The rabbit tracks stop and there's a little bit of fur there when the fox has caught him. But the rabbit was trying to get away. I've seen other times where there have been rabbit tracks that go along in a very calm way, and all of a sudden they stop. There was no lengthening of the track, no running, no dodging. And what happened was a great horned owl came and picked them off. They didn't even know the owl was there. Couldn't even hear them. And that's why God has made these great horned owls, these wings, the feathers that fan out. They are very, very good hunters. I mean, they have to be because their children have such appetites. If they weren't able to hunt and do a really good job and catch a lot of things, their children would starve to death. So they know how to do that. Now, they've got different kind of eyes. The iris can widen it out or narrow it depending upon how much light there is, and they have to be able to hunt a lot at night. They can hunt during the daytime or the night. But they've got to be able to hunt at night because they've got to keep this food supply going for their little ones. So God has given them a bunch of rod cells in the retina of the eye, and I don't know, I understand a whole lot about the eye, but I know the rod cells are able to pick up any available light. Even something like moonlight or starlight, the rod cells can interact in such a way that the owl is able to see at night. He can see as well during the nighttime as he can during the daytime. So he can really hunt 24 hours a day to feed his little ones. He's even got a third eyelid that, I don't know if they really know how it works, but it works kind of like a windshield wiper. It cleans the eyes off, so if they're out in the storm, they can still see. You know, have you ever been driving down the highway and they put some sand or something on the road and it gets on your windshield and you can't see? How do you think the owl would feel if he'd be driving or flying along? He said, you can't see, where is anything? Well, God has given him a third eyelid that acts like a windshield wiper. It keeps his eyes clean so he can see very, very well. And you know, you have a passage like Proverbs chapter 20, verse 12, the seeing eye and the hearing ear, the Lord hath made both of them. And I know it's talking about a physical eye and a physical ear, but it's also talking about spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. And God has given the great horned owl eyes that can see and ears that can hear. And He does the same thing for Christian parents. It all comes from the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So when your parents are teaching you, they're training you. And training you from the Word of God, they want you to be perfect. Be the best you can be. It's going to happen someday. It's going to happen in heaven. Now we come to the ears. You see Ozzy's ears? What do you think of his ears? Isn't that cute? They're cute ears. They're not ears. These are not ears. They've got a camouflage. His real ears, he's got one here, about here, and another one down about there. Now, what would he look like if God would have put an ear out here and an ear out there? Why, that poor thing would have been so embarrassed he wouldn't have been able to be seen. So God put the ear, little tufts of feathers on the top to make him look like ears. And he'd look and say, well, he's really pretty. He's a beautiful little owl. But the real ears are in the side, and they're not right across from each other. There's one like here and the other one down there. And there's a reason for that. Because when they hear a sound, the sound will reach this side of the ear a little bit different time than it'll reach this other side of the ear. So the sound comes at two different times, and God has made the owl in such a way that he can figure out by listening to the two different sounds, or two different times that a sound comes from, he can pinpoint exactly where it's coming from. That's very important. If he hears a mouse running around on the ground, he's got to know exactly where that thing is. He hears it, he can tell, because the sound comes at just a little bit, split second at a different time from one side of his head to the other. This is an amazing thing. I don't know of another bird that has this. But I don't know of another bird that needs it either. All young birds eat a lot. I don't think they eat as much as little owls eat. When little owls are hatched, they'll go from about 3 inches to about 2 feet in 3 months. They grow as fast as they can possibly go, and they've got to have a lot of food, so God has equipped the great horned owl so he can get it for them. Now, there's one other difference in the great horned owl than these other owls, or other birds, and that is in their claws. They've got 4 pairs of claws. 2 pair on each feet, and each foot, and they come like they crisscross. They kind of crisscross so that when they jab into something, there's no way that it's going to get out. It can't fall out. They're kind of like ice picks that jab in there. So an owl can go and say he's a mile away from his nest. His little ones are hungry. He goes down, he picks off a rabbit. What would happen if he was flying back and all of a sudden he lost his grip and the rabbit fell? And the little ones are back there, they're hungry. They want something to eat. He comes back and says, well, I had something, but I couldn't hold on to it. It got away from me. Well, that doesn't happen to the great horned owl. Those claws are so sharp and they crisscross and they jab into the animal that they catch, and there's no way that that thing is going to get out of there. And I thought of a few passages when I was studying about this, about what the Lord says about holding fast what you've got. And that's a lot of what you younger children are going to be doing. Now the elders are doing it too. The adults are doing it. You've got a faith in Christ. Now you've got to hold it. And you've got to keep it. You've got to hold it fast because there's someone who's going to try and take it away from you. And that's the devil. The Lord Jesus told a parable one time. He said, behold, the sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured them up. Now the disciples said, why don't you explain to us what that parable means? The Lord did, and one of the things he said was, hear the parable of the sower. When someone hears the word of the kingdom, but doesn't understand it, then comes the wicked one, and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. So you don't want the devil to be able to take away what you've got. Paul wrote to Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words. In Thessalonians, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Revelation, but that which you have already, hold fast till I come. Don't let go of it. God has given you ears that can hear. Now, the Lord Jesus said this thing one time too. He said, be very careful how you hear. Well, just sit and listen. Now, some people listen, words go in one ear and out the other. Jesus said, be very, very careful how you listen. And then he said this, whoever has, to him shall be given. But whoever does not have, from him shall be taken away even that which he seems to have. Now, I don't know of a better parent in the animal and the creation than the great horned owl. And I think that God has given us the great horned owl as kind of an epitome of what a Christian parent is supposed to be like, equipping them for feeding their young. So I really hope that every time you see an owl here like Ozzy, you'll say, you know, that reminds me of my mom and my dad. Not by looks, but by the way they provide for their young. We'll have a little prayer. Lord Jesus, we pray that you give all of our parents here eyes that can see and ears that can hear, and pattern their lives after the great horned owl, that they may provide very, very well for their young. And we pray also for the young that are here, that when they grow up and start to raise their own families, that they in turn will be the kind of parents to their children that their Christian parents were to them. And especially we pray that you guide us all by your Holy Spirit. It all comes from him. And grant that he may give us eyes that can see and ears that can hear. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.